I suppose my background, my interest here is in the idea of what is popular culture and what does popular culture mean to Northern Ireland, away from the outplaying of the agreement or whatever. And I thought one of the great acts of cultural vandalism, and there have been many in Belfast, that there are many neoliberal cities, happens in my own city of Liverpool regularly, was the painting over of the Teenage Kicks mural, which is a tribute to John Peel on the M3 motorway bridge back in the markets there. And it struck me as an act of I thought, cultural vandalism, because very subjectively, I think the greatest achievement of Northern Ireland in the late 20th century was the Undertones in Tara Uafra, but particularly Teenage Kicks. If that had been anywhere else, in England, we'd have built an entire tourism infrastructure to the city on the back of Teenage Kicks. It's so great. But it was this idea that it was painted over, and I got involved in a Freedom of Information request to find out why it was painted over, and I've since found out last night my brother-in-law also put in a Freedom of Information. And we were told that it was part of a regeneration, £3 million initially, and £5 million to regenerate that area leading out into East Belfast. And that it was painted over because the ground had been defaced. And I thought, well, that hasn't been defaced. That's a celebration of something that's fantastic about what we've produced as a nation or a people or as a wee gang of dairy punks or whatever. It was the idea that we were defacing something. And this is the Freedom of Information response that we got. Both the Freedom of Information responses I got from Northern Ireland Office at the DSD have been terribly spelled, terribly punctuated, and perfunctory in essence. But it was this idea that was said, I just want to come to it, is that we were considering defaced property. I've already told you about a problem with that in terms of the public sphere and the public space. I don't think that was defaced, it was wonderful. Officials sought to identify any pieces of community art within the scheme area, and it was deemed that this was not community art through consultation with five community groups, one of whom in the short strand said they weren't actually contacted. So we found a lie in one of the Freedom of Information requests, which came up in a second. The teenage kid graffiti was not identified as community art or a community mural, and the other graffiti was removed with the other graffiti. And what does the word community mean? Because Teenage Kicks represents a community that me and Steve remember very vividly from growing up. Popular music, popular culture, subcultures, that kind of, British School of Cultural Studies. And there was outcry after it happened. Duke Special said, there's one slogan that makes you smile as you're entering East Belfast. Terry Moody said, I can't believe it. Keep the sectarian graffiti, but we want to represent positive and celebrate the rich musical history that we have. That wasn't being represented. But I thought it was even more interesting at the time that, let me come back to that, that this concept of community being a nebulous word, as Bill Rolston describes it in his book on murals in 1990. Glenn Patterson's been writing about this, and at the same time as this graffiti was being painted over, Glenn had co-written Good Vibrations, the movie, which Steve was recently been writing about. And this concept of popular culture not fitting in with a community or the two communities really interests me as someone who did particularly grow up as a member of a religious community, although I was brought up Catholic, but I was brought up in a mixed area. And the popular culture was kind of the community I existed in anyway. Whether it was Raven or dance culture or coming to Belfast or involved in the literature or bands like Steve was, where was our community? Where was the vegetarian option on the community menu during the peace process? So Glenn, I thought it was really interesting, in an article, an interview he had with the Vanderbilt Review in the States in 2010, said that things I really love about politics in Northern Ireland is what they call the two communities. Two communities are Catholic and Protestant. I don't believe in two communities, and this is where I think the nature of popular culture being important, but also being overlooked in the public sphere comes in. He said that I define myself by all kinds of other things. Some of them are very useful communities, and some of them are very frivolous communities. There are communities of mutual likes and dislikes. There are, again, communities of sexual preference, communities of sports. These are the things that usually define who I am. Religion is nowhere in defining who I actually am. And the idea of adhering to two communities and that community art is defined, the money goes to represent communities, or religious communities or political communities, I thought really missed the point that the things that we want to celebrate in the public sphere are positive things, what we call this kind of subculture study. And in the movie, has everyone seen Good Vibrations?
Yeah.
If you haven't, that shit's not regular, sort that out. It's a wonderful film. It's Mark Kermode's film of the year in 2000. It's on my laptop if you want to sleep through the rest of that now. It's brilliant. But Dormer playing Terry Hooley says, asked by the leading tennis wife at the start, do you have any friends? Because they're by himself. He says, I used to have loads of friends, feminist friends, Marxist friends, anarchist friends, someone probably in the room now, and friends that were fuck all. The point he's making is that whenever the trouble's happening, people self-define themselves as Catholic or Protestant and not as those things. And then later on, this happens quite early on in the first act when they're trying to make this point of popular culture versus the troubles, or popular culture versus community and identity. He says, I tell you another thing, I get the word community. Whenever anybody in Northern Ireland says community, what they're really saying is side, take it aside. And so if we're going to be giving money for community art projects that are deliberately, or that are taking a political side or our community side, then what we are also, and we're painting over popular spontaneous expressions of non-community art, then we've got a problem with the public sphere. And I'm going to talk about this where I think I dovetail with you and Daniel, Robert. So I think there's two forces at work. There's a centrifugal force and a centripetal force. There's a centripetal force that pulls everything that's political, everything that's community, everything that's involved in peace, with peace process, with peace industry, whatever you want to call it, and trails that in. And popular culture appears to be, and this is sort of in an anecdotal sense that I was involved in, whether it was going to see the Stone Roses at the Maysfield Leisure Centre, or going to Deep Groove to go raving, or going to go around Queens to gigs, that was all pushed to the edge. And everything that was pushed to the edge was what you might describe as Belfast avant-garde, or Belfast art community, or Belfast liberty community. And there was no sense of that. And, you know, the second step of AA, of recovery programs, is if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result, that's the definition of madness. And Glenn is saying this back in 1994 about community, and he said it to me whenever I was a young pretendee writer in Craig Allen Library in 1990 or 1991. He's talking about community, the definitions. Difficult though for it may be to accept, there are people who reject the languages of loyalism or republicanism, who refuse to be defined by constructions whose validity they do not accept, whose values, as far as they had any in the past, they consider now to be reactionary or redundant. That's from The Independent. So why are they pushed to the margins? Well, I think this is where it kind of dovetails with Robert's work and with Aaron's work. Is the first thing is that with the outplaying of the of Good Friday, 1998, the establishment of an assembly that asks people to self-define as one side or the other, and that there's no opposition and nothing in between, that we have polarised the communities even further. And there's no, I mean, that's embedded in the mechanism of the state as it is. We have said that there is, now the Hunt mechanism is interesting because the Hunt is predicated upon a civil society emerging underneath, which makes way for those deficiencies. But of course, if your voluntary sector and all your community sector is defining along those ways, then we've got a problem with the public sphere. But I also think that there's a problem with actually the expressions. And if community art is putting up solidarity walls or putting up as really flags, actually those aren't expressions of solidarity primarily, and they're not expressions that they're actually using that as a central plank of your own identity. It's not about giving solidarity to Gaza, and it's not about supporting the Israeli state. Knock yourselves out, champ. I don't care what you do, that's fine. But actually what you're doing is to bookend or is not a balustrade in your own identity. I'm not entirely sure that Palestinian people understand the concept of Chucky Arla. And I thought that was a really interesting element this week. That's Jamie Bryson's new tattoo. Have you seen this on the right-hand side? With his Ulster flag surrounded by the Israeli flag, surrounded by the Ulster star, or the red hand surrounded by the Israeli. That's an absolute work of lunacy, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, it's something. Yeah, the right to defend himself. Something like that. Because he's you know, he's under threat in those taxis between driving to the room. There's an incongruity of the symbolism, I think, and it actually runs against the kind of cultural studies tradition myself and Robert kind of work in. Hebdige or Fisk or those people, I know Steve, you've got problems with Fisk being used, but they talk about the activity and the active way that we use the public sphere and popular cultural artefacts to define us. We're inherently active in that transaction, if it isn't the transaction. Whereas with this identity of community, that's it, you've made the exception and there's no kind of movement or momentum. I think the second issue is, well, I'll talk about that because it's really good. But the other thing that I think where it's really interesting, and Robert kicked this off in my head when he quite rightly called me out in a wee debate we had up in Coleraine a couple of years ago when we talked about public spheres. Well, the other thing is we've got to look at what capitalism means in modern Northern Ireland. Because if community and community identity and what we describe as, Martin McGuinness described as the battle desk, frame one sense of popular culture not entering the mainstream narrative, then we also have to accept that capitalism and neoliberalism and the architecture and the structures of the city and how it's built and how we interact in that city are also framing us. Well, what does that mean? Well, we paint over. You know, the Giro d'Italia's coming, so all those brilliant Italians in lovely suits don't want to see an our like you know, undertones thing. So we'll just paint over that because it doesn't sound about Belfast. Why? Well, think of Steve and Greg wrote, and if you haven't read the propaganda piece, it's brilliant. First of all, it's an academic book that's less than 120 pages long. Please, let that be the model from now on. If you get it in Kindle, all the highlights are mine. But the peace process wasn't about providing peace, so it wasn't primarily about providing a better way forward for one, a better way of describing it. It was simply about constructing a mechanism which provided just sufficient economic and social stability for capitalism to flourish. That we would provide enough stability, and there were no bombs going off, there were no murders, no killings, that we could have our Victoria Centre, we could have our IKEA out in Hollywood, we could have, there's a nice picture in a second. And I think there's an issue of the third way, and the peace process really is, in many ways, a kind of Blairite New Labour kind of construction. And the other thing is, what is Belfast about? Belfast doesn't want the undertones. First of all, they're from Derry, which is one thing. And it'll be pointed out, me and Steve pointed out, if we do take a history of Good Vibrations as a record label, most of it's bloody awful. Big time, like Rudy's the only decent song out of print. But at least there's a space for people that have no punks to have a place to feel, is the interesting. Where is the place to feel? Anyway, I'm going off in a digression, I've got 2 minutes left. Neoliberal cities on the back of Richard Florida, on the back of the idea of how we're going to structure a city. Not every city from Shanghai to Chicago to Portland to Belfast has to find the hooks that it hangs itself on to bring tourists in. The post-industrial city has to have an identity. It has to have a space to bring those people in. And Belfast, I believe, made a decision to distinguish between popular culture and shared culture and say that we are now one of two things. We are bombs and bullets tourists, and we are the city of the Titanic. And we'll have an airport named after someone with a history of domestic abuse. You know, stand-ups can't write this sort of stuff. Dublin's the centre of the crack. Liverpool's the Beatles and football. Newcastle's football and people not wearing very much. Sorry, Pauline. That's the popular stereotype of Newcastle. And on and on. And part of the way that we bring tourists into Belfast, they said, as Fiona and Stephen did, you take Heine up the falls and down the Shankill, and we'll take them to the Titanic. And there's no place in that neoliberal post-industrial tourism space in our popular consciousness for fripperies like popular music. Shared culture. Are we distinctive enough? That's what I think I was talking to Stephen on the way in. You know, British and Irish culture, Northern Irish culture, there isn't a lot of difference between us. We have a shared cultural argot. As we were saying, whenever the first prisoners went in during the internment, their name for the screws were Germans because they were growing up in British war movies. There's not enough distinctiveness to bring people in. So what distinguishes us? I mean, I don't know if you can see this. So Belfast is now what it can accrue capital from. Yeah. No, I've got about 1.5, 90 seconds.
Okay, 90 seconds.
Okay. Home is the most important place. This is the book. This was the light that went on Steve and Greg's head for the book. So you can see here, consumerism trumps terrorism. There's a lot of Billy Bookcases. Sorry, there's a second Billy Bookcase guy there, Robert. Sorry. And there's a very big blog called The Velvet Rocket, which is a travel blog. It says Belfast is the bombs and bullets tour. So I'm not going to do my conclusions. I just want to read out this comment. As the outcry, I'll read it out there. The outcry from the Teenage Kicks hat that was painted over. There was this brilliantly articulate expression of why it was wrong from Fink, 1976. Well, thanks, dickheads, for making Belfast a blander place. Sure, it's only a bit of graffiti, but as this place slides inexorably into being a Titanic theme park, is it too much to ask for even a little shred of authenticity? This kind of bollocks produced by people who think that because someone's handed them a paintbrush, they're artists. Do teenagers from the local area have to be any artist? Why is every single bloody thing in Belfast to be built in the lowest common denominator nonsense agreed on by the community? Who are these people? No one asked me or anyone else. And I think this is my favourite paragraph in it. Who the fuck thought this was so offensive? Who on earth are these people? This is my city too and my friend's city too. There's precious little left for us to identify with. If you want some stupid mural that means absolutely nothing, you can plenty of them within brick throwing distance. why on earth do you have to go and ruin something like this? Thanks very much. That was final, by the way.